Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big day, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host today. I'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Today, we have a special guest coming all the way from Cleveland, Ohio, His Excellency, the Honorable Dr. George C. Fraser. Are you there?
I'm here. Good to be with you. Thank you so much for all the great work that you're doing.
Oh, great. And we really appreciate you taking the time out of your monstrous busy schedule to address, you know, our listeners and help them succeed in business. Before we get started, though, I want you to get out all of your contact information. How can our listeners reach you?
They can reach me by emailing me at gfraser, F-R-A-S as in Sam, E-R, gfraser@frasernet.com. They can visit my website at www.frasernet.com, or they can go to our conference site. We have a conference every year. It's Dallas, Texas, this year in June 25th through the 27th, and they can go to www.powernetworkingconference.com, www.powernetworkingconference.com, and learn all about the conference and join us at the conference in June. It's powerful.
Now, Mr. Fraser, I want to say that it's an honor for us to have you on here, especially for the start of Black History Month. And I don't think that we could have found a better person to come on with all of the accolades you received, being one of the top 50 power brokers in Black America, Black Enterprise Magazine, you've known as Black America's number one networker. You've been around for a while. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, how you got started, large family, small family, so they can kind of get to know who we're talking to today.
Yeah, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, one of 11 children, 8 boys and 3 girls. My father came to this country in the early 1900s from Guyana, married a beautiful, fair-skinned sister, Ida Mae Baldwin, from Lumpkin, Georgia. They moved to Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn, New York, bought a brownstone, had 11 children. When I turned 3 years old, my mother became mentally ill and was institutionalized for the balance of her life. And my father was a cab driver, and he couldn't take care of 11 children, so we were orphaned. So I was in an orphanage at 3, stayed in an orphanage from 3 to 5. And because nobody would take 11 children, we were broken up into threes, and then I spent the balance of my young life until 18 years old in foster homes. So I aged out of foster homes at 18 years old, got my high school diploma in woodworking because nobody thought I was college material. I began mopping floors on the midnight shift at LaGuardia Airport as I paid my way through college, ultimately left New York to escape the toxic environment of Brooklyn at that time, and moved to Cleveland, Ohio, where I had an older sister who took me in. And I began working in the basement of Cleveland Clinic, washing dirty laundry, and the rest is history. And then I clawed my way and worked my way through building relationships and effective networking, and then ultimately ended up being selected and inducted into the Minority Business Hall of Fame and Museum, having written 5 best-selling books. The most popular is Success Runs in Our Race, The Complete Guide to Effective Networking in the Black Community. I wrote that some 21 years ago, and that basically launched my writing career and launched my speaking career and launched my company that I started some 28 years ago. It's called FraserNet, linking people and ideas. And the purpose of the company was to teach other African-Americans around the country, if not around the world, the power and importance of the relationships in their lives, the importance of networking to build your success, and then the importance of the intergenerational transfer of wealth the importance of starting and building businesses and creating work and jobs for our people. Those were the two goals of the company, and I've been at it for 28 years, and we now have a large conference. This is our 14th conference coming up, our 14th year in Dallas, Texas, at the Fairmont Hotel, the Power Networking Conference. The title of the conference is Learn, Earn, and Return. Learn, Earn, and Return. And the operative word here is return, because so many of us get knowledge and we do not return back to our community to lift down, to reach down and to lift up and to reach back and pull forward. So that's that's sort of a thumbnail story of my life. And I've been blessed, and I am on purpose. I'm doing the work that God has assigned me to do, and therefore I think I will live a long and fruitful life. I'm already 70 years old and been at this for 28 years, and I believe I've lived this long in a healthy kind of way because I'm on purpose. I'm doing what the Creator has sent me here to do. I'm doing what gives me the greatest fulfillment, the greatest joy, and the greatest satisfaction, and this is what I advise everyone who's listening to this Blog Talk Radio program: to seek your purpose and to think about it in terms of what gives you the greatest fulfillment, what gives you the greatest joy and the greatest satisfaction. That is your assignment here on earth, and then you must chart that course and stay that course, and then all that is due you will come to you.
Wow. Now, I know you said that you've been doing this for 28 years, but that 28 years, that's more of when you form the corporation to instruct, because, of course, you've been doing a lot more before then. How did this become your passion? I mean, what happened that made you choose to pursue this course, whereas a lot of people, they have a passion, but they don't really pursue it? What made you say, I'm going to step out and I'm just going to, on faith, do what I need to do?
Well, if you are a responsible black person, you are going to pay attention to what's going on in this country to our people. That's what you're going to do. You're going to pay attention, and you're going to see where we're succeeding, and you're going to see and observe where we're failing. So let me say that differently. White folks in this country, because we live in a racist society, we live in a society of white supremacy, fundamentally, and it has been that way ever since we were brought here 400 years ago, have done everything they're going to do for black people. We have freedom, civil rights, voting rights, and public access. We will not be getting white people's money. You'll have to kill them first, and you're not going to kill them. That means we're going to have to compete with them, right? We're going to have to compete with white folk, right? And we are a magnificent and powerful people, and we can compete. So if we're going to compete with white people in a market-based, democratic, capitalistic society, that means we're going to have to ramp up our game, right? We're going to have to ramp up our game. We're going to have to be amazing at whatever it is that we do. We're going to have to be excellent, whether it's a career or whether it's a business or whether it's a nonprofit organization. Whatever it is you choose to do, you're going to have to be excellent to amazing at it as a black person. Now, how do we know this to be true? Because this is what our parents told us many, many, many years ago. They told us we're going to have to be twice as good to get half as much. Because if you're black and mediocre in America, you better leave, because you're going to be marginalized and you're ultimately going to be destroyed. So observing that as a responsible black man with just a high school diploma at that time, right, but well-read, very interested in what was going on with our people. Because remember, I was born in 1945, so I grew up in a time, so I grew up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So I grew up with Malcolm X in one ear, Dr. King in the other ear, and Smokey Robinson writing the lyrics for my music instead of Little Wayne. Have you ever compared the lyrics of Little Wayne to Smokey Robinson? I grew up in a time when there was a black consciousness, when Gil Scott-Heron said the revolution would not be televised, when James Brown wrote that iconic song, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. When John Carlos, the Olympian, put a black glove on him and just lifted his fist at the Olympics. So I grew up in a time when there was a consciousness, when we were wearing afros and dashikis. That consciousness is gone now, right? That was a black power consciousness. It was a time when Stokely Carmichael was, for the first time ever, put the word black and power together. That had never been done before. But that consciousness has dissipated, if you will. And we have to get back to that. We have to get back to building the kind of esteem and relationships with each other so that we can leverage more effectively our collective resources and intellectual capital. Let me say that differently. I believe deeply, and there are 44 million black people in this country, I believe that God has given black people in this country every single thing they need to succeed. We have everything we need to succeed except each other. Jews have each other. East Indians have each other. Asians have each other. Arabs have each other. Irish people and Italian people have each other. We don't have each other. That's the final thing I believe that God wants us to learn how to do, and that is to network with each other so that we can leverage more effectively our collective resources and intellectual capital. We have to connect the dots. That's what we have to do because we have everything. Just think about what we have. We are a $1.1 trillion annual economy. Black people in America. If we were a nation, we would be the 16th richest nation in the entire world. But our money goes in one direction, away from us, and we're some of America's most conspicuous consumers. So we are an economically illiterate people. We do not recycle our dollars. We do not support our own businesses. We do not do the right thing by our money. But we have money. We cannot say we're not poor people. We're just broke people because everybody has our money but us. Our dollars recycle less than one time in our own community. In the Jewish community, it recycles 12 to 15 times. So we have money. And we have brain power. I mean, we're very brilliant people. We're God's first people. Right? 75,000 years ago, the first human remains were found in the Olduvai Gorge in Ethiopia. If you're hanging out in Ethiopia, you're black. Make no mistake about it. So we were God's first people. We are brilliant people. But many of us, because we don't know our history, we don't know our ancient history, we don't know our modern history, we don't know who we are, and we have forgotten how powerful and beautiful we are. We are brilliant people. We have surpassed W.E.B. Du Bois' dream. He had a dream 90 years ago that if at least 10% of black people could get the finest education possible, he meant a college education, we would then get that education, we would then come back to our own community, and that 10% alone would reinvest in their own community, and that 10% alone would uplift the entire race. That was Du Bois' dream. Well, we have surpassed that dream. Nearly 18% of black people have at least a four-year college degree or better. So said another way, we have surpassed Du Bois' dream by 80%. We have a lot of PhDs in our community. We now need some PhDs, right? So we have brain power. Just my generation alone, right? I'm a baby boomer, but just my generation alone, we have amassed over 500 billion hours of formal education and professional training. If you wanted to put a dollar value on that, let's put $10 per hour on that, and just try to get an educational professional training for $10 an hour. But let's just be conservative. That would mean that the collective intellectual capital base from just one generation alone, the baby boomer generation, is worth in excess of $5 trillion, right? So we have brain power. And then there's another interesting statistic you never hear anybody talk about. Nearly 60% of the black workforce in America, 9 million of us, are in executive, managerial, supervisory, professional specialty, vocational, technical, administrative, sales, and business ownership positions. So we have an army of potential role models that can help those who are stuck in the cycle of poverty. There is no army in the entire world larger than the army of black people that have succeeded in this country, so make no mistake about it, success runs in our race. And once we begin, A, to know our history, so that we can love ourselves, because you see, if I do not love me when I look in the mirror and I don't like what I see, there's no way that I can love you. Because when I look at you, you become a reflection of me. That's called low race esteem. And low race esteem comes from low self-esteem. And when you don't love the people that look like you, you don't support them, you don't network with them, you don't connect the dots, you don't trust them. And so we have to fix that. That white folks ain't fixing that. You see, white folks, as I said earlier, have done all they're going to do for black people. White people are going to fix white people. Asians are going to fix Asians. East Indians are going to fix East Indians. Arabs are going to fix Arabs. That's what they're supposed to be doing. They ain't thinking about you. And a good friend of mine who said something to me, a white friend of mine, said something to me a long time ago that made me do the Holy Ghost dance. And he said, George, I know what black people's problem is. I said, oh, really, Bob? What's black people's problem? He said, you spend all your time thinking about us, and we don't spend any of our time thinking about you. So if you ain't thinking about you, and we damn sure ain't thinking about you, who's thinking about black people, right? So that's the truth. So we have to circle the wagons. We have to fix ourselves, and we have the brain power, we have the resources to do that. Once we understand that we are magnificent and beautiful people, that we need. Once we understand that, we will trust each other, and when we trust each other, we will do the things necessary.
You know, this is. We have so many callers on the line, and they're starting to text in with some of the points that you're making. And I'm going to open up a couple of those callers to be real brief. But before then, the economic illiteracy, if you can do a real brief point on exactly what type of economics should we be paying attention to as a people, and then with the education, a lot of times the education is basically putting you in an area where you can work for someone as opposed to work for yourself. So what would you do about that portion by having the PhDs, but we'll PhD on it for other companies, and the economic literacy? And then I'm going to open up the lines.
Boy, that's a loaded question. And so economic illiteracy is extremely important. But you have to start, you know, at the beginning. You know, I mean, when you are a fundamental, and again, I'm not talking about all black people. There are some black people that absolutely understand and know what to do with money, know why wealth is important, and know the methodologies for achieving wealth. I mean, so there are plenty of black people that absolutely understand. And there are plenty of black people that understand that the focus for us in the 21st century is silver, S-I-L-V-E-R, rights, instead of civil rights. Make no mistake. Yes, we must always fight for social justice. We can't have our children running around getting bullets put in their head by rogue cops. So yes, we must continue to fight for social justice. But the big fight in the 21st century, and this is what we work on, and I've been working on for 28 years, and this is what the Power Networking Conference is all about. Two things: to help black people build wealth that can be transferred intergenerationally, right? So it is not that we're poor, we're just broke. Right? There was an interesting article in USA Today last year on the front page below the fold about black people, baby boomers, and their money. And it simply said that black baby boomers will be the first generation of Africans in America to raise another generation of Africans in America that will not do better than them. So in the 400-year history of our people in this great country, we are the only generation to raise another generation that will be worse off. Right? So that means there's a high level of economic illiteracy, and most of us, not all of us, actually do not know why we should be focusing on wealth. Why should we focus on wealth? Not so that we can get more money to buy more stuff. I don't believe that God's going to give us anything else. He's already given us everything that we need to succeed, right? So God told me to tell black people he ain't giving you nothing else. Why? Until we become better stewards of that which we already have. We're not utilizing that which we already have. There are no black people in the entire world doing better than we are. I've been every place that black people have been dispersed. South Africa, East Africa, West Africa, Central Africa, all over North Africa, all over South America, and all over the Caribbean. There are no black people in the entire world doing better than we are. So we are suffering from high levels of economic illiteracy. right? We are the only culture in the history of humankind that put political power before economic power. Last year, we elected 9,000 black public officials in this country, and we're still at the bottom of the educational and economic heap. What does that mean? It means that you can't do it by politics alone. Politics is important. And we understand that we're all controlled by, you know, political expediency and political power. But it's very, very, very important. But it is not the singular answer. We have to do because politics and economics are synonymous. But you have to do both. You just can't do one. All right. So we have to first, if we're going to address economic illiteracy in our community, we must first teach our people and deeply embed into their subconscious mind why is wealth important. Why? Because wealth, your wealth determines where you live. Where you live determines where your children go to school. And where your children go to school determines the quality of your children's higher education, and the quality of your children's higher education will determine their lifelong earnings. And your children's lifelong earnings will ultimately determine where they live. And that will determine where their children, your grandchildren, will go to school. And that will then determine your grandchildren's higher education, and that will determine their lifelong earnings. So you see the cycle of poverty there, right?
Right.
The second reason why wealth is so important, because in a market-based economy, in a democratic capitalistic society, the only color that really matters is green. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's what it is. So until our pile of green is as big and as wide and as deep and as leveraged as any other culture group's pile of green, we will never be considered an equal at the table of democratic capitalism, right? So that's the third reason why wealth is so important. And the fourth reason is when we finish pontificating at – yes, go ahead.
I'm going to say let's save some reasons so that way people come to your website and they'll be able to reach out to you. But I'm going to start with the person who's been on the phone the longest. Person with the 770 area code, 719, please, I need your name, I need where you're calling from, and I need a quick question. All right, so 770 area code 719, please state your name, your location, and a question.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Susan Dean, and I'm calling from Atlanta. And what I have experienced when I try to invest in black businesses, I'm usually ripped off. It's usually a big game. For instance, we had an investment company that came into a large church. The person that was the investor convinced all of us to invest into his corporation. We invested millions, only to find out a year later that it was a big scam. And we're left with nothing. So it's hard for us to kind of trust one another. And I think that's surely, surely poor.
All right, great. So, all right.
Yes,
Mr. Fraser.
Can I respond to that?
Dean, I'm going to put you off. Yes, sir. I'm going to put you off, Mrs. Dean from Georgia, so that he can answer the question, and then I'm going to move to the next question.
Mm-hmm. There are black businesses out here that do not need to be in business. They're scammers. They do not have any excellence in their subject matter expertise. So there certainly there's some very, very bad black businesses out here. I call them businesses. Right? See, there's a difference between being in business and being in business. So we got a lot of brothers and sisters who are in business, right? And we have to put them out of business because they have not properly prepared themselves. They cannot compete out here, and so they scam. And they provide low-quality services to black folks. But then there are a lot of wonderful black businesses out here. And let us hope that of the 1.9 million black-owned businesses, there are 1.9 million black-owned businesses, of those 1.9 million, that the overwhelming majority of those businesses are doing business in a good way, doing business in an earnest way. They are probably lacking the resources to compete with white businesses that are doing some of the same things. No question about that. So let me just give you a rule of thumb from which you should think. think about doing business, taking your business to a black-owned business. Now, I learned this from my Jewish brothers and sisters. I am giving you advice right now that you do not do business with a black person just because they're black. Jews do not do business with other Jews just because they're Jewish. That is not the truth, all right? You do business with another black person when all things are equal, that you can get the same quality, value, and service for your hard-earned money than you can get anywhere. You see, this is what Jews do, right? They do not do business with Jews just because they're Jewish. When they can get the same quality, value, and service from another person, the tiebreaker is, I'm a Jew, you're a Jew. The tiebreaker has to be when we do businesses with other brothers and sisters, is that you have evaluated that business. You've done your research, right? You've gotten recommendations. You ask for references, right? You know someone that has gotten an excellent delivery of service from that business, and that's when you do business. Now, there are going to be times when people are still going to make mistakes, and they're not going to live up to the standards that they need to live up to. Then you have to constructively criticize them, right? And one of the things that we don't do, when we get badass business from white people, and we get plenty of badass business from white people, right? We do not swear off all white people. We do not say, I'm never going to shop or go to a white establishment again because this white person gave me bad service. No, we do not. But we do that with our own people. You can have a bad experience with a black person. You will swear off doing business with all black people. That is not right, and it is not fair. So we have to constructively criticize our people who are not doing business in the right way. And make no mistake about it, I do understand being scammed by investment companies. And the investment companies that I've been scammed by and America has been scammed by has been white businesses. Let's think about the 2007 economic downturn, right? You talk about the biggest scam ever perpetrated on black people in the history of our people being here. That was white people scamming black people. So the biggest scam artists I see and read and about, and if you watch American Greed, I've never seen a black person featured on American Greed. Everybody I've seen featured on American Greed, the biggest scam artists I've seen and that I've been impacted by, have been people that do not look like me, right? But I do not swear off investing in all white investment instruments. All right, stocks and bonds and all kinds of things that we have an opportunity. So I think we have to balance it with the right kind of thinking, and I think we have to balance it with the right kind of research. You just don't, especially with investment, you just do not invest your hard-earned money with an institution or a company or people that you have not done your serious research with, that you've gotten high recommendations from, that you have gotten references on their behalf. And still, I do understand that you can still be ripped off, because I've been ripped off by white companies, even after investigation. So I'm just saying, let's be fair. Let's support our businesses, but let's put the pressure on them to do right, to be right, and to be better.
All right, great. Dr. Fraser, I swear I wish we had more time. We have callers from Ohio. We have callers from New York on the line. Guys, you'd have to visit his website, www.frasernet. That's FRASERNET.com. You can go to thinkbigradio.com.
Can I talk a little bit about the Ohio Networking Conference?
Yes, sir.
And we've got a minute left. All right, Power Networking Conference. Please come to the conference. It's a training conference, 4 days. All the things I'm talking about, you will get the proper training and the proper goals. What I'd like to do for those of you who are smart enough to be listening today, okay, I want to give you a $1,000 discount on a $1,300 conference package where you can come. You can bring a college-age student, 17 to 25. You can come to a bonus day. This is a 13. $1,500 conference package. I'm going to give you $1,000 off. You can come for $299. It's in Dallas, Texas in June. Please be there. If you are interested in this $1,000 discount, it's just for the next 24 hours. Just email me, gfraser@frasernet.com. gfraser, F-R-A-S-E-R, at frasernet.com. And say, I'm in, put your name and your cell phone number on there, and we will make available to you a $1,300 conference package for $299, and that's because you were smart enough to be listening right now.
All right. Guys, you heard it. I'd really like to thank you for coming on the show. Hope to network with you, and definitely will be networking with you in the future. All of our ThinkBigRadio.com listeners, it's been great, and take advantage of that offer. So with that said,
God bless you. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.